You are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line with Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well out there on their Wednesday afternoon. National Signing Day. Of course, this period goes on for a few days. If you'll remember, back a year ago, Auburn made some signatures on the Friday of this week. But today is the final. It's the final signing period of the 2022 recruiting cycle. Jacob, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing good, man. Auburn, not so much, but I'm doing pretty well. Hump day yet again, halfway through the week, so we're pushing along.
As you allude to, National Signing Day with Auburn going 0-4. That's what you meant by Auburn not doing well. As Christian Clemente said on yesterday's show of AuburnSports.com, he predicted Auburn would go 0-4 on its top targets today. That is exactly what has happened. Auburn has missed on players with the likes of Jack Pyburn yesterday, Jalen Farmer today, Trevante Citizen went to Miami. I don't think many people were expecting Miami to come crashing in like that, but they did. It's been an interesting day so far on National Signing Day. Of course, it's not National Signing Day of old, but it's still important to keep up with, and Auburn has slid down to number 18 in 24/7 Sports recruiting rankings.
Yeah, that's tough for Auburn. I mean, we knew they were going to go 0-4 today. You know, like you mentioned, Christian was on the show yesterday, and he's good at what he does. So, and he told us Auburn was going to go 0-4. The biggest surprise was Trevante Citizen going to Miami. I told you earlier, I saw on his Twitter page, he posted the four pictures of him in the uniforms of the four schools he was considering: Auburn, LSU, Florida, and then the fourth was Miami. And I didn't even really know Miami was a player in this situation with Trevante Citizen, but Mario Cristobal coming out of nowhere, last second offer, I guess. And he went down there, Trevante Citizen to Miami. So that was the shock. But when it comes to Auburn, we knew this was going to happen today. It's not the end of the world, but it's definitely tough to see Auburn move down to the 18 slot.
Two teams have jumped over them over the last couple of weeks. Tennessee now up to number 15. LSU up to number 16. If you're comparing this to the recruiting rankings that were put out back in December for the early signing period. So those two SEC teams jumped over Auburn. I'm going to be real. I don't know how LSU's at number 16. They have four less commitments than Auburn, and Auburn has four more four-stars than them. They're just barely edged out in the total overall point tally by 2 points, as well as Tennessee. Tennessee only has two more overall points than Auburn, and you understand Tennessee because they have 21 commitments. Auburn has 18, so that's how they're in front of them. I still think you can look at this on paper and say Auburn has a better class than both Tennessee and LSU.
And they probably do. And I think Auburn's in a good spot still. I said it yesterday on the show. Auburn pulling a top 20 class in Brian Harsin's first full year of recruiting is a huge win, a huge success for the first year of full recruiting for Brian Harsin. I still stand by that. I said it all season long. And here we are. Auburn's still in the top 20. Whether they should be above LSU, Tennessee, that's, you know, you could say they could be or should be. But the fact of the matter is, by the end of the day, Auburn's still going to have a top 20 class. And I understand that that's not truly competing in the SEC with the standards that the rest of the conference has set when it comes to recruiting. But for the first full year of recruiting for Brian Harsin and the Auburn Tigers, top 20 is a huge success.
We want to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open here for the first two segments of the show. And then we'll have Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us at 2:30. How do you feel about Auburn's recruiting class 2022 now that it seems to be just about complete, aside from any transfers that are going to be entering into the program, as well as why do you think the momentum didn't carry over from December? We want those thoughts from you, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. Before we get to our thoughts on that, let's go through what 24/7 Sports team recruiting rankings for the 2022 class have for us. And it's number one, Texas A&M, holding on to that top spot over number two, Alabama. number 3, Georgia, number 4, Ohio State, and number 5, Texas. That is your top 5. A&M with 7 5-stars and 18 4-stars at this year's class, featuring 28 total commits.
And they picked up a 5-star defensive lineman to top it off today on National Signing Day. Just a huge class. The best one that Texas A&M's ever had, probably the best that Jimbo Fisher's ever had. And Texas A&M, we knew it was coming, right? When Jimbo Fisher was hired on at Texas A&M, we knew this day was coming. They paid him too much money for him to come in and be mediocre. And we knew this day was coming, that Texas A&M was going to start recruiting with the big dogs. And here they are. They're going to end with the number one class in the country. And I promise you, it's going to show on the field this fall.
What's lost in the shuffle of all this, a future SEC team, Texas, just had their third top five class in the last 5 recruiting classes. Can you believe that? With the way that they play, can you believe that?
It's wild, but I guess the brand and the name Texas, the Texas Longhorns, I mean, that carries a lot of weight. Whether there's success on the field or not in the past, that carries a lot of weight.
I'm not shocked that they recruited top five, because like you said, the brand. I'm shocked that they continue to fail with top five class after top five class.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's not going to fly, man, especially when they get into the SEC. And that's the biggest thing, man. If they can't succeed to a high level in the Big 12, they're definitely not going to be able to do it in the SEC, because top to bottom, the SEC is superior over the Big 12 in football, and hey, basketball too now, right? And if Texas couldn't do what they needed to do in the Big 12 by winning conference titles and making it to the college football playoff, they're definitely not going to be able to do it in the SEC. So just because you can recruit well and get top five classes, you've got to be able to develop those guys and get results on the field, and Texas just hasn't done it.
Do you still believe Steve Sarkisian's the guy after the first year? Or did you ever believe that he was the guy?
I thought he deserved a shot. He deserved his shot. Texas is a big job. I mean, that's a big-time job at a big-time school in a big-time state. And it's not going to take very long for us in the world to realize whether Steve Sarkisian's it or not. Long-term, probably not, if we're just being honest. I don't think he'll survive. And I very well could be wrong. But no, I don't see Steve Sarkisian being the turning point for Texas program.
Number 6, Penn State. Number 7, Notre Dame. 8, Michigan. 9, North Carolina with only 17 commitments. Mack Brown continues to pull in solid recruits to UNC. And then 10, Oklahoma. Oklahoma with no 5-stars, only 17 commits. 14 of them are 4-stars, of course, and they did crack the top 10. But with Oklahoma coming to the SEC, Brent Venables, a first-year head coach, will only have been on the job for a couple of years at the time that Oklahoma does come to the SEC. I'm going to be honest with you. They're beginning to slide a bit in the Big 12. They're no longer, without a shadow of the doubt, going to be a Big 12 champion anymore. I think that continues, obviously, coming into the SEC. Those two teams have a rude awakening coming for them.
Oh, I 100% agree. And Oklahoma, they suffered when Lincoln Riley took off for USC, and we knew that was going to happen. But we've seen it over the past few weeks of all the decommits, all the transfers coming out of Oklahoma, and nothing against Brent Venables. I'm sure he's going to do a decent job there, but it's going to take a little bit of time, especially when Oklahoma, like you mentioned, when they come into the SEC, it's going to be a rude awakening for both Texas and Oklahoma. One, they're going to have to recruit out of their minds, and two, they're just going to have to play out of their minds as well, because playing in the SEC football is different than playing in any other conference. And if they weren't able to do it and get it done in the Big 12, not saying Oklahoma obviously had their success.
They were 2 losses every year, though.
Yeah, they were. They always, Kansas State was always the thorn in their side.
Iowa State. Texas could beat them when they were bad.
And if you can't constantly succeed against those types of schools, you're gonna have a hard time playing football in the SEC, and where every single Saturday you've got to play your best football or you're going to lose.
This is probably one of the more underwhelming classes considering their recent history. Clemson only at number 11.
Yeah, and you saw it this year. And it's crazy, though, because Clemson didn't look that good on the field, but they still got 10 wins. That shows how good Dabo is. And it'll show that Clemson, what'd you say, 16? Is that what you said?
No, they're number 11. They have 19 commits.
Okay, so still, I mean, that's good enough to win the ACC with as low and bad as the ACC is. But at the same time, like this year, they were
second best recruiting class in the ACC behind North Carolina.
Now, that's kind of surprising because, I mean, yeah, that'll get it done in the ACC. But even this year when they had 10 wins, they didn't look good doing it. And they obviously didn't make the playoff. And so you've got to have for Clemson to be good and have a shot, you've got to have a top 5-7 class. And
well, that'll tell you why the ACC stinks so bad, though. There's only four teams inside the top 25,
yep.
And Florida State's all the way down there at 19. Miami's at 14. You've only got
Florida
one
State's
class
behind.
Inside the top 10, and that's North Carolina at 9. Continuing on here, two SEC teams that outkicked their coverage a little bit, Kentucky at number 12 and Missouri at number 13.
I love Kentucky, man. They've got a good thing going with Stoops running that program. He will be there until as long as he wants to be there. And you're not going to get any better at Kentucky. That's just how it is when it comes to football. But he's recruiting top 15, top 20 classes every year at Kentucky for football. That's unbelievable. And then Missouri, you know, take that for what you will. I mean, they have good players, good recruits. They're never going to just be a dominant force in the SEC. They just won't. They'll have their year where they'll make the SEC championship every now and then, like they did 2013 against Auburn. But that was their first year in the conference, too. So, SEC, it's still the dominant conference in college football. And for teams like Clemson outside of the SEC who play in the ACC, you know, they've got to have better recruiting because North Carolina can't carry that conference.
What's so interesting about Kentucky right now is that Mark Stoops has proven he can develop the three stars. Now he's pulling in players that are top 50 recruits, like Keontae Goodwin on the offensive line. This team has consistently had one of the best offensive lines in college football. Don't at me. There's a reason why Alabama just hired their offensive line coach. This is a program that I think is about to cross over a threshold into a place where they will win 9 games every year.
And it's
Florida,
watch out. And it's a game you don't want on your schedule. For a team like Auburn, who has to play an SEC crossover every year besides Georgia, and we play Kentucky, what, every 7 years, 6 years, something like that? That's a game you're not going to want to play, especially on the road, as SEC games on the road are tough to win anyway. But, yeah, no, I agree. Kentucky's about to be a serious threat in the SEC East. Whether they can keep up with Georgia, that's a pretty tall task. But beating out Florida and Tennessee and South Carolina, that's not going to be a problem for Kentucky in the future.
Moving along, still in the rankings, we mentioned Miami earlier. They are at 14th with only 13 commits, 10 4-stars for Mario Cristobal, including stealing away Trevante Citizen. That was the shock today.
That's big time too, man. And Cristobal, he's good, man. Obviously, he's a good coach. He's a good recruiter. And he's what I like to call the player's coach. And he gets guys for a reason. And there's a reason that Trevante Citizen flipped on everybody and went to Miami today. And we're about to see it. So we'll see if Mario Cristobal can get it done on the field. He did it at Oregon. Now can he do it at Miami in what I would call a wide-open ACC right now?
Not a great class for Tennessee, but they did fill it out with 21 commitments. They're at 15th, LSU at 16. Stanford at 17. We mentioned Auburn at 18 when the show opened up. 19, Florida State. Florida really didn't make a whole lot of movement today, and they would have had they gotten Trevante Citizen. Of course, they landed Jalen Farmer, the offensive tackle, but Florida comes in at 20 behind their rival, Florida State. And Florida has one more 4-star. So once again, sometimes the rankings, I understand that there's a big difference between some 4-stars and other 4-stars and then some 3-stars and others, but Florida at 20, they did some work to get inside the top 25. This was a program that wasn't recruiting during the year under Dan Mullen, apparently. And Billy Napier came in and even brought in some high-profile recruits for this class. He's showing his prowess on the recruiting trail. And although it's just a top 20 class, they're kind of in the same boat Auburn was last year. They found a way to put something together.
Well, you want to talk about a miracle in recruiting. It's Billy Napier down at Florida coming in his first year. And like you said, apparently they were not recruiting at all under Dan Mullen, it seemed like. But him coming in and pulling a top 20 class, that's what you want to talk about, a miracle. Obviously, that's not good enough to get it done in the SEC, but this dude hasn't been there very long. But he was able to come in with Florida and take some last-second swings at some of these guys and some of these recruits and able to pick them up and bring them to the swamp. And I really like Napier. I really think he's a good coach. He's a great recruiter. He's a winner at everywhere he's been. And I think Florida's going to get there. And I said earlier that Kentucky won't have a problem with Florida. I take that back. They are, because Florida, I think, can get back to that point. But Kentucky's going to be really good and competitive in the SEC East. And I think Napier can get Florida to that, back to that level that we've seen them have. But in reality, in the SEC, if you don't have a top 10 class in the country, you're not going to compete, because half of the top 10 usually is SEC.
21, Indiana. 22, Michigan State, 23, Ole Miss, 24, Arizona, and 25, South Carolina rounds out the top 25. Some omissions there among SEC teams. Mississippi State there at 26, Arkansas at 27, Vanderbilt all the way up to 30, but they did that with 28 total commitments, 26 three-stars coming to Clark Lee's side. That's a look right there at how recruiting has gone so far today as things quiet down a little bit on National Signing Day.
That's a lot of recruits for Vanderbilt. And here's the problem with Vandy is their academic standards are so high, and it should be. That's their thing. That three stars coming to Vanderbilt is what you get. And you talked about with Kentucky developing 3 and 4 stars, that's what Vanderbilt has to do just to be competitive. Vanderbilt's never going to be a team that wins the East consistently and goes to a playoff or anything like that, obviously. And those aren't the expectations at Vanderbilt. But getting wins, getting to a bowl game, and developing some players and sending some guys to the league, that's the best thing that Vanderbilt can do. So good for them for getting a lot of recruits. But when it comes to the stars, it's 3 stars is what you're going to get, an occasional 4 for Vanderbilt.
Number to call, 334-321-1390. We've asked you the question, why do you think the momentum didn't carry over from December for the Auburn Tigers as they go into the actual signing day period in February, and they whiff on all of their targets, as well as how do you feel about this 2022 recruiting class or anything else going on in sports? There was a big win for Auburn basketball last night over Alabama. We want to talk to you about that, as well as any other takeaways that you've got for National Signing Day 2022. If you want to talk about anything going on inside that top 25 or outside, I want to ask you, anybody here that was particularly underwhelming for you inside the top 25?
As like a team recruiting?
Right. Any class particularly underwhelming for you? I've got a couple.
Underwhelming. I mean, outside of the SEC, I think Clemson. I mean, that's a big underwhelming recruiting class for Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers. Again, the ACC is wide open, and that is their conference. They have ran that for the last 7 or 8 years. That's a pretty underwhelming to be outside of the top 10 for Clemson. Not that they can't win the ACC with, what, the 11th class in the nation, but you're not going to win a national championship with the 11th class in the nation, and that's a problem. That's a problem for Clemson and Dabo Swinney. I'm shocked by that. I'd say that's probably one of the more underwhelmings.
I'll give one SEC, and then I'll give one Big Ten school. My SEC school is LSU, and I don't know how they've jumped Auburn. And granted, once again, when you look at the formula, there is a difference between high 4 stars, low 4 stars, and then the 3 stars, the same can be said. LSU with 14 commitments to Auburn's 18. Auburn had 4 more 4 stars, right? They had the exact same amount of 3 stars. Auburn being at 18, LSU at 16. Auburn went into their backyard back in December and took whoever they wanted, right? It took some high-value targets from LSU. They also lost out on Trevante Citizen. I don't think LSU put together a very good class at all, at least for their standards. Now, will that change under Brian Kelly 100%? It's hard when you're going through a coaching change, but you can still say it's an underwhelming class for what you're used to seeing with LSU. And then the Big Ten school that I want to talk about, Michigan State at 22. They've slid a couple of spots down from 19 outside of the top 20, had 23 commits, 17 of them are 3 stars. They throw a ton of money at Mel Tucker, make him one of the highest paid coaches in all of college football. They had some serious momentum this year with what they did. They won a New Year's Six bowl game. They had a great year. My question is whether or not Michigan State's going to sustain it with bringing in 17 3 stars, because you look inside the Big Ten, Michigan's got a top 10 class. Ohio State is constantly going to be inside the top 5. Penn State brought in 16 players that were either a 4-star or a 5-star. They had 3 5-stars in that class. They finished top 6. They're getting out-recruited, not by a little, but by a lot, by the top teams in their own division. I just don't think that it's sustainable, and they just threw a lot of money at Mel Tucker. You can't recruit like that. And I also don't think, as much as everybody has been making this out to be viable, I don't think living in the transfer portal is going to be as sustainable as people think.
No, the transfer portal is going to slow down eventually in the next couple of seasons, I would think. And when Michigan State threw all that money, like you said, at Mel Tucker and gave him, what was it, like an 8 to 10 year deal, something crazy. It's not that the guy didn't deserve it, because he's a good coach and he's done a lot with a little at Michigan State so far, but that's a big jump to take on a guy in just a couple years.
You say he didn't deserve it, but it's kind of what Auburn did with Gus Malzahn,
and
we've talked about this. You feel the urgency, and athletic department, ADs, presidents feel the need to throw this money at these coaches because they don't want to lose them. But I also don't know if one year where they only won 10 or 11 games, however many it was, and they did have some losses where it makes you scratch your head a little bit. I don't know if Michigan State really did anything that warranted making Mel Tucker one of the highest paid coaches in college football.
Yeah, I don't see it playing out very well. Nothing against Mel Tucker, and you know, I hope he proves me wrong, whatever, but I don't see that working out very well. I see a big buyout, him not surviving for the next 5 to 8 years, however long it is. That's a lot of money, man, and not that he's not good. Again, I hope he proves me wrong, but Michigan State's going to have to change something, and it's going to start with recruiting because, like you said, Ohio State's going to finish in the top five of recruiting every single year. Michigan may fall off with some of the Jim Harbaugh stuff going on, whether he bolts for the NFL or not, but at the end of the day, Penn State and Ohio State and Michigan at the end of the day, too, all those are going to be top 15 recruiting classes every year, so Mel Tucker, Michigan State, they're going to have to figure it out.
And the Big Ten recruiting has elevated over the years, and so when I look at Michigan State inside their own division, heck, Indiana's 21 in front of them in the rankings, right? And Indiana's growing. The Big Ten has gotten better as a conference. And there's even the teams like Northwestern that punch above their weight class.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin as well, which they're nowhere to be found in the recruiting rankings. They're all the way down at 41.
Yikes.
Northwestern at 49. But those are still teams that find ways to win football games recruiting in that realm. And, of course, Michigan State can do the same thing. But Michigan State's expectations, are they to win 10 games every year, or are they to win 8 games every year? Because they just recruited like they're going to win 8 games every year because of how difficult that division is.
Yeah, and the Big Ten, is just, it's got, like you said, it's gotten better. Maryland's always competitive. Iowa's competitive. I mean, the Big Ten is, it's a competitive conference. So, yeah, they're going to have to figure it out. And whether Michigan State, whether it works out with Mel Tucker or not, we're going to find out real soon.
Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we will talk Auburn, Alabama basketball.
Welcome back to On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins, Noah Gardner here with you today. It is Wednesday on the show here in the studio. It's been a quick 25 minutes, and we got just a few minutes. We'll go to our next break, but we've been talking football recruiting as it is National Signing Day around the country, and we've been asking you guys to call in. What's your expectations, but what are your thoughts on the results so far? Auburn is at the number 18 class in the country. They have slid down a few spots. Call in. What's your take? We want to hear from you.
That's right. Let's get into some Auburn-Alabama basketball, though, from last night.
Man, I mean, what a game, right? Auburn, we knew Auburn was going to show up and play, and we knew Bama was going to show up and play good as well, and they kind of did. Half of their team did. A couple players did. The whole
Shackelford.
Team. Shackelford played outstanding. It seemed like there for a time he couldn't miss, and at times he couldn't miss. And I really expected Alabama to play better as a team and play extremely competitive, but it was really Shackelford and Quinterly, and that was pretty much it for Alabama.
Of course, Shackelford still was 6-for-15 from the field, 9-for-10 from the free throw line. This game was played at the charity stripe last night.
Yeah, and Auburn got to the free throw line, and you know, if that's a complaint from Alabama fans, that's something you can look at. The free throw differential, Auburn shot 39 free throws to Alabama's 22. But Auburn was working the ball inside, whether it was off the bounce, driving in with a point guard, or feeding it to Walker Kessler or Jabari Smith, going in and getting fouled. And they made their free throws, 31 of 39. The team shot 80% from the free throw line. That's just unheard of from a college basketball team, because just about everybody on this team can shoot free throws, and they knocked them down.
Auburn only shot 21 threes last night to Alabama's 37. It's a bad sign when your three-point percentage is higher than your overall field goal percentage. Auburn played really good defense last night. I just think Alabama was making shots at times.
And they were, and that's what we've seen this Alabama team do, is make the three ball really, really well. I mean, they shot 14 of 37 from three for 38%. They made 14 three-pointers last night, and Auburn still beat them by 19. And Auburn only hit 5 threes, 15 points off of threes, and they scored 100. So that just shows how good Auburn is offensively. They shot 48% from the field as a team. That's just unheard of. 66 two-pointers. I mean, man, that is high-level offensive efficiency.
Alabama went 11 for 33 inside the arc. That is a whopping 33%. They have the 8th highest two-point percentage in the nation coming into last night's game, shooting well above 50% inside the arc. It was actually at about 56% coming into last night's basketball game, and Auburn put it on lockdown, and that is a lot of credit there, Walker Kessler. 8 blocks, almost had a triple-double.
again, that would have been his second triple-double of the season. Auburn as a team had 10 blocks, which is it's just crazy because when Alabama and any team, even when they blow by, let's say that, you know, Quinterly and Shackelford were both putting the ball on the floor and at times driving right around Zeb Jasper and Wendell Green. But then the second line defense is a 7'1" Walker Kessler. I mean, how do you...
He altered a ton of shots, too.
He altered shots and he blocked shots. And again, even if he doesn't block it, he still has a huge effect. And credit to Alabama. Some of those guys were making floaters above and over Walker Kessler and knocking them down. But you can't do that all night long. At the end of the day, Walker Kessler's skill and height is going to beat those types of shots for 40 minutes. And credit to Walker Kessler, man. He played some of the best defense that he has played all season long. We saw the Alabama guards, when they would get deep, try to do some spin moves and some footwork, try to get him in the air, because we've seen that early on in the season, to fake him out and get him in the air and either go around him or jump into him for the foul. But credit to him, man, he stayed on the floor because he's learned he doesn't have to jump. He can wait until somebody shoots the ball, and then he can swat it out of the air because he's so tall. So credit to Walker Kessler. Probably the best game he's played all season long.
I think this is one of the best games Auburn's played all year long. One of the most complete performances. And granted, I know Alabama brought the lead back within 4 points. I think that was just Alabama knocking down shots. I don't think it was anything against Auburn. Auburn only had 8 turnovers, and I don't think Auburn was taking bad shots during that stretch either. They just weren't dropping. I think there's a lot to like about what Auburn did.
Yeah, we can touch on this more when we come back, because there's a lot more to talk about.
Let's take a quick break here. You're listening to On the Line. On the other side of this break, we got Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. Back on for the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer with us on the line now. Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing really well. Let's talk some Auburn football as it is National Signing Day. What'd you make of Auburn's 2022 class? There was nothing new today, but what are your takeaways from it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a class that did a good job of, you know, highlighting some spots that they needed to reinforce for 2022 right away, especially defensive backfield. Turned out their defensive line class ended up having to be a pretty big one just because of the departures they had there. They got some guys at wide receiver and a quarterback and a running back, so you've got, like, the kind of the next wave building up with your skill position players. So, you know, you always have to keep kind of a good cycle of that going on. But, yeah, the big thing is that you didn't sign very many. You only signed one offensive lineman, and that's a numbers game that's not as, you know, pressing in 2022, but it will be moving forward. So, Auburn's got a lot of work to do, I think, in the transfer portal and in the 2023 class and beyond to kind of backfill for some of these spots where they missed out on.
Looking at what has happened over the last 30 hours or so, Auburn's gone 0-for on all of their top targets. What do you think contributed to Auburn losing some of its momentum that it had in December? It seems like the air has been let out of the program.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be hard to bring in guys in the February period when you lose, you know, your two coordinators and you lose a defensive line coach like you had in Nick Eason. One of your commitments you didn't sign in December ends up going to Clemson following Nick Eason and Caden Story up the road at Lynette. So, yeah, I mean, it's the turnover in the staff, I think, has got to be a huge thing for that. It's just that, you know, you need to sell stability. You need to be able to sell just kind of the, you know, hey, this is what we're building, and you know, things are looking up. And when you just have so much uncertainty with your staff, and it's for a variety of reasons, I think it's hard just to, you know, close the door in recruiting strongly. Because you know it's just a harder sell to have when you've had to have so much change, especially coming off of a year one where you lost your last 5 games.
Justin, you talked about the coordinator turnover and the uncertainty of the Auburn coaching staff. Auburn now having to look for a new offensive coordinator. What direction do you see Brian Harsin and this program going to try to find that new replacement for Austin Davis?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good chance that they could stay internal and, you know, promote Eric Keyes out to offensive coordinator. He's got experience with, you know, Harsin at that in that position group. And then in that case, it was just like, does he, you know, you still have to bring in somebody, you know, quarterback coach, or, you know, if he you know, stays at wide receiver coach, or if you move him to wide receiver, I mean, to quarterback coach, you need to bring in a wide receiver guy. So, wouldn't be surprised if that was the angle that Auburn went here, just because of where it is. But, you know, the carousel is an interesting spot right now. I think we're going to see some more movement here. Now that it looks like Jim Harbaugh is going to the Vikings, that means Michigan comes open, which is going to affect staffs elsewhere. So you're going to get a little run here right after signing day, where people can be on the move, and Auburn might be able to pick up a guy or two there. Be interested if they go back to the NFL. I mean, I think on paper, Austin Davis made a ton of sense. You know, and it was the kind of quarterback coach and offense coordinator I think was a good swing to take. Now, obviously, you know, it didn't fit here, and you know, personal reasons that, you know, you couldn't have seen coming, I don't think, you know, causing Austin Davis to step away from coaching. But I think that mindset, I think they were on the right track there. So if Auburn looks to the next level and tries to pick off somebody from you know, those ranks, I wouldn't be surprised either. But, you know, I think if I had to pick a favorite right now, I think, you know, I could definitely see Keyes making that move to offensive coordinator. Then it would just be how Auburn fills in around him.
Speaking with Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer on the Wednesday edition of the show. Justin, last question to you about football. What is your vibe with the morale inside the program after all the coaching turnover? Because you look at the morale and the fan base, at least on social media, it's not particularly high right now in regards to football.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing, because I never, you know, I'm a big believer in the fact that, you know, it's never as bad as it seems, it's never as good as it seems. And so I think, you know, there are reasons why, you know, so many dudes decided to come back to this team, guys that were regular players. I mean, there's a lot of transfers that have gone out, but for the most part, they've been guys who aren't necessarily, you know, starters. So when you bring back all those offensive linemen, and you bring back an Owen Papo, and you bring in some of the defensive linemen assigned to come back, you know, there's obviously something here that's working and clicking and bringing these guys back in. But I just think it's one of those things where it doesn't seem like everyone's on the same page, and that's where these next couple months are going to be very critical for Auburn, is that getting the staff together, locking them in, and then, you know, really hitting spring ball, knowing that you got a lot of work to do. So there's a lot of players here that are committed to it, and I think, you know, they have belief that things can turn around, and that Auburn's not, you know, a doomed program by any stretch. But optics are, you know, kind of mean everything right now, and you look at it from the outside, it doesn't look good. But it's not a free fall. It's not a toe with the lap. So, you know, there's a reason why these guys are staying around, and there's also reasons why you've had coaches leave and you had guys hit the portal. So I think it's really a mixed bag right now. And, you know, Auburn's got 7 months before they play another football game that matters, and they're going to need all 7 months, I think, to you know, get a lot of work done.
We've been talking Auburn football and recruiting with Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. Let's switch into Auburn basketball, who picked up a big win last night at home as the number one team in the country against Alabama. Justin, what's your takeaways from the victory last night?
I mean, it was a remarkable game for Auburn. The fact that they scored 100 points and only hit 5 3-pointers is kind of just the state of Auburn basketball this season. This is the team that just dominates people in the paint. When you have Walker Kessler, when you have Jabari Smith, when you have creative guards that can get to the basket like a you know, a Wendell Green Jr. or Katie Johnson, and you know, got some downhill work from your wings as well. Got to the free throw line. They just did such an excellent job of scoring, and you know, they never panicked. They kept swinging. You know, when Alabama, Alabama goes on their run to start the second half, because Jaden Shackelford and Javon Quinterly are great scorers, great shooters. And they caught fire there. They cut it all the way to 2. Auburn sticks with their rotation. They bring their reserves into the game, that bench squad that they have, They get a ton of stops in a row, and Alabama can't play those guys all 40 minutes. So when they started rotating, it was just, you know, that it was, the depth was so different. I mean, Auburn went on a huge run in that game in the second half when Jabari Smith was on the bench. So it's the depth of Auburn, and it's the ability that they have so many weapons that can, you know, score in bunches. But they do it down low. They're not having to rely on the three-pointer this season, and that goes a long way.
Looking at last night's win over Alabama, Walker Kessler had another stupid good performance. 14 points, 12 rebounds, 8 blocks, 4 steals. His defensive ability, obviously, it's always on showcase, but last night seemed to be on a different level, especially with some scouts and media personalities that cover the draft in attendance. What did you see out of him from an NBA draft perspective that was put on display?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, the big thing for him is that Walker Kessler's 7'1", but he's an athletic 7'1". He's a mobile 7'1". He's a guy that can do a variety of things on offense and on defense that you just don't usually get out of dudes that are that big. You know, he has the ability to take over a game in pretty much every facet. He's disruptive on defense. He's pretty much automatic around the rim. And he's a great rebounder as well. So, you know, he's a second-year dude, so it's not like his draft stock is like, you know, his potential is maximized like a guy who would be a one-and-done. So it'll be interesting to see what the league thinks of him. But, I mean, you can make the argument he's the most impactful defensive player in the country right now. You can make the argument that he's best at the rim in the SEC, and that includes Oscar Tshiebwe. And so it's just like, I don't know where the stock at. Like, there's a lot of people that have him as a second rounder at this point, and that makes sense. But if he keeps playing on the clip he's at right, he's been Auburn's best player for pretty much the last month of the season. You know, dating back all the way to that first Alabama meeting, I think since that game, he has been the best player on the floor for Auburn every single night. And so that's going to get more attention, and, you know, he can push himself into first-round conversation, because if you do this kind of – you have these kind of games against an Alabama team that's really good at playing up, you know, you have a lot to show the league.
Well, I think Walker Kessler locked up a number one – or not a number one, but a first-round selection for himself in the NBA draft coming up. But – and we've talked about him being the MVP of this Auburn team this season, but there's no doubt – that there's another guy on this starting five that is one of the best players in college basketball, and that's Jabari Smith. We see him creating his own shots, knocking down contested mid-range jumpers, and just has one of the smoothest shooting strokes you'll ever see. We were debating this earlier, and I want to ask you your opinion, Justin. Who do you think Jabari Smith is a better comparison to, Kevin Durant or Giannis?
I think Durant's a much better comparison just because he's more of a jump shooter than Giannis has ever been. You know, Giannis is a guy that plays at the rim, helped his game to shoot more, but he's very rim dominant type of player, whereas Jabari doesn't really score a ton around the rim. Now, when he does, he can be very effective. But, you know, I like the Durant comparison, one that makes a ton of sense, because there's not very many people who are that tall that are pure jump shooters like he is. I mean, he's going to walk on the floor, and he's one of the best shooters, you know, every single night. And that's rare. I think, you know, there's some people who've talked about comparing him kind of like a Chris Bosh type of player. I think that one's a good comparison as well. You know, there's just been very little guys, I think, you know, in basketball that are that tall and that good at shooting. You know, that's just, he is kind of that modern type of player that also does the really good dirty work. And I think that's where kind of some of the Giannis comparison can come from here. He is a playmaker. He is a really good rebounder. He's a great defender. You know, so he does all of the things that you want a 6'10 dude to do, but then he brings you an offensive game that is very much not 6'10. And when you start trying to figure out how many people have been like that over the years, you know, Durant is one of the only ones that kind of jumps out.
Auburn right now, one of the betting favorites to win the national championship. I think they're second right now in the odds behind only Gonzaga. What, if any, could Auburn be lacking at this point to win a national championship?
I mean, it's hard to say, but just because, you know, the national title, is you have to win 6 games in a row, and that's really, really tough to do. You know, and that's something that, you know, really awesome teams can get tripped up in the tournament. That's just the nature of a single elimination thing. But you just put yourself in your best position and then let it play out from there. You know, this Auburn team does not really have any weaknesses. Nate Oates said that last night, and I tend to agree. I mean, one of the things they had been doing a poor job of earlier in the year was not getting to the free throw line enough and fouling too much and sending the other team to the free throw line. So these last few games, they have dominated the free throw battle, especially at home. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if that can kind of continue moving forward. But this is a team that's elite on defense, elite on offense. There's not very many teams in the country that have that balance, right? You watch a Gonzaga, you watch a Kentucky, and some of these other teams. It's like, okay, they're really good at one side of the ball or the other. It's really hard to be both. You know, right now, if you look at KenPom, there's only two teams in the country that are top 12 in offensive and defensive efficiency. That's Auburn and Houston. So, I mean, there's just not a lot of holes on this team. Now, you might play some games where there are teams that have maybe more talented guards. You may play a team with stronger, more consistent wings. But when you have a star-studded front court that I think the only other one in the country, maybe two, the only two in the country I think that can compare to Auburn's front court is Gonzaga and maybe Purdue. You know, when you have those two guys up front leading the way and you have so much depth and you have so much balance behind them, you know, there's really not a whole lot you can do. We have seen Auburn beat teams in a variety of ways this season, and they're one of the most dangerous teams in the fact that, you know, they can adapt to what you do best, right? If you come into the game and say, we're going to want to play fast and shoot a ton of threes, it's like, okay, we'll lock it down and we'll work the ball on our end. But if you want to play slow, and you can, you know, Auburn can run with you and run past you. So it's a team that just is so adaptable, so deep. You know, it's the best team in America, and I think this is the best team. This is the best basketball team Auburn has ever put out. And you know, we'll see how much the record books will say that whenever it's all said and done. But I don't think you've ever seen a team around here that has got this much balance and this much firepower.
Justin, we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. Tell everybody where they can find your content and how they can subscribe.
Yeah, you can subscribe to the Auburn Observer, auburnobserver.com. It's a newsletter. It comes out most every day of the week, either a newsletter or a podcast. You can check that out. A lot of Auburn basketball and Auburn football analysis there. And we'll have a mailbag on Friday. We'll have a podcast recapping the Bama game here tomorrow morning. So there's a lot going on. We'll be at the Georgia game this weekend to cover that. So auburnobserver.com, sign up there.
Justin, I appreciate it, my man. I hope you have a good rest of your afternoon.
Absolutely, y'all too.
That was Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer.
Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins, Noah Gardner here with you talking Auburn football, Auburn basketball. We want to hear from you out there. What do you have to think about Auburn's recruiting class now at number 18 in the country? What do you think about Auburn basketball with a big-time win last night against Alabama? Again, another win for Auburn as the number one team in the country. Call in 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. We want to hear from you.
Auburn basketball last night won 181 over Alabama, further solidifying their place as the number one team of the country with Jay Billis in the house, Carl Ravitch, right? Bring out the brooms. There's the sweep. Let's get back to takeaways from Auburn's 181 win over Alabama. I thought this was one of Auburn's most complete games to date.
It was. There's no doubt. It was probably one of the better games they've played all season long. And I'm going to say it again. I've still not seen this Auburn team play a complete 40 minutes of basketball, and look how dangerous that can be. And again, you'll always back me up when I say that not many teams ever get to play that to that level playing a complete 40 minutes. It's hard to do.
99.5% of college basketball does not ever play in one season a full 40 minutes of dominance.
But
it's hard to do. I'm not holding that against Auburn.
Right, no, I'm not either. But that's what I'm saying. I think this team can do it at times. And if they do, they are literally unstoppable. I don't see anybody being able to beat them. And all they have to do is really play 20 to 25 good minutes of basketball, and they're going to beat anybody in the country. And you saw it last night. And I knew coming out of the half that Auburn was going to let Alabama back into that basketball game, and Alabama did. They made shots. They played well coming out of the half, and they got it down to a two-point deficit. But then you knew Auburn was just going to go on another run and put them away. So Auburn put up 100 points on Alabama last night. Big-time win.
So here's the difference between Auburn and some other teams in college basketball, or really pretty much all of college basketball, with the exception of the few elite teams that Auburn is a part of, that club. When other teams go on runs, you know that teams like Alabama, good basketball teams, you know they're going to go on a run against you. And Auburn weathers that storm really well. Alabama's run may only be like 7-0. It may just be a 7-0 run, right? When Auburn goes on runs, it ends games. Auburn went from only leading by 2 to leading by 19 at the end of the game, right? And Auburn does that several times throughout the basketball game. It's very difficult to sustain a 19-point lead. It just is. You look around college basketball, you look around any game that's played on the hardwood, right? NBA or college or high school, it's hard to maintain those leads because you get into a rhythm like that, you get into that flow, and that's hard to sustain because you're playing well above your average level of play, right? Now, Auburn's not going to have these jarring runs against a team like Gonzaga or someone else inside the top five. They'll probably, you know, meet a team down the line in the NCAA tournament where the teams are going to go blow for blow, right? But the reason why Auburn just annihilates teams like this is because their runs end up being really jarring.
And last night, they had a handful of double-digit runs.
Yeah.
11-0 run, 15-0 run, 12-0 runs. Like, those types of runs are game-changing. And then when Auburn gets up to that lead in the second half, they normally don't give it up. Now, we see them have halftime leads, as they did last night, that were double digits, and Alabama made a run to come out of the half to cut it within two. But then, you know, Auburn's just got another run right there waiting, and then once they get up by that point, after the 10-minute mark, it's pretty much ball game. And Auburn, like you said, they're going to find teams that go blow for blow, but I don't think a team can go blow for blow with this team for 40 minutes. I just don't see it happening.
Before we get out of here for hour number one, let's take a listen to what's on TV tonight.
Hey everybody, it's Noah Gardner with What's On Tonight. CBS has new episodes of reality TV. Big Brother's Celebrity Edition is on at 7, and following it at 8, it's The Amazing Race. Over on Fox, it's new episodes of I Can See Your Voice at 7 and Next Level Chef at 8. Movie selection for tonight, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire is on Sci-Fi at 4:30. In live sports, let's take a look at the college basketball schedule for tonight. Starting with the 6 p.m. time slot, it's number 4, Purdue at Minnesota on Big Ten Network. Number 5, Kentucky. Kentucky hosts Vanderbilt on SEC Network. Big East battle between Butler and number 21 Xavier on CBS Sports Network. Pittsburgh is at Wake Forest on ESPN2, and Arkansas is at Georgia on ESPNU. Moving to 8 p.m., the headliner, number 11 Wisconsin at number 18 Illinois on Big Ten Network. Syracuse is at NC State on ESPN2, ramping up the night at 9 on FS1. Number 12 Villanova is at number 24 Marquette. I'm Noah Gardner, and that's what's on TV tonight.
Back live on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central Alabama. That was What's On TV Tonight. And what's on right now, as you were mentioning to me, there is an SEC basketball game on right now on SEC Network. Florida and Missouri locked in a pretty close game in Columbia.
33-31, Florida lead at the half. Like you said, there's got to be some scheduling problem here. Because
this could not have been on purpose.
The SEC does not schedule a basketball game at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. I don't know if this was like a rescheduled game from earlier due to COVID, but hey, standalone basketball game. John Rothstein, man, he'll tell you what's up.
That's it for hour number one of the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We'll be back with hour number two coming up at 3 o'clock, making headlines on the way, National Signing Day 2022.
On the Line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on FoxSports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Hour number two of the Wednesday edition of On the Line, Noah Gardner and Jacob Goins with you on the show. Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joined us in hour number one. If you missed any of it, go and find the podcast wherever you get your podcast. As well as coming up here in hour number two, we've got Caleb Jones of the Auburn Plainsman and AuburnSports.com joining us to talk about National Signing Day. He covers recruiting for Auburn rivals, as well as he is the sports editor for the Auburn Plainsman. So we will get the latest going on with Auburn football and Auburn basketball. We're going to start off hour number two, as we do every day, though, with making headlines. Making headlines. It is National Signing Day. We talked about this a lot at the top of the show. Auburn goes 0 for 4 on its targets, failing to capitalize on the momentum that it had in December. Why do you think the momentum didn't carry over from December? Haven't had any calls about this yet. If you want to call in, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. How do you feel about the recruiting class, as well as why do you think the momentum didn't carry over from December?
Well, I think the obvious answer is the amount of coaching changes that has happened within Auburn's program in the last few weeks, the last month at least. I think that's a huge problem. And when you're a recruit trying to commit to a school, you want to know that your coach that you commit to is going to be there when you get there. And I think that's a big deal. And Auburn losing coordinators left and right is...
And position coaches,
yeah, exactly. So losing coaches within the program on both sides of the football, it's just not good news, and that's not good for the kids, and that's probably the biggest reason, no doubt.
As much as you want to point out that Auburn's lost two coordinators, or really three this offseason, you've also lost a handful of position coaches, because Mike Bobo coached quarterbacks as well. Austin Davis, I think he was more of a quarterbacks coach than an offensive coordinator, right? You also talk about Nick Eason headed on his way. Jeff Schmetting moves up from coaching linebackers to now coaching, or having a hand on that side of the football, to now also coaching to being the entire defensive coordinator. So you break it down that way. I mean, there's been a lot of moving and shaking, and that's going to affect recruiting. Let's head to the phone lines now, 334-321-1390. Jason's with us. Jason, what do you think about all this?
It's depressing, guys. I want to talk about basketball. Football is a dumpster fire.
Go for it.
I'll start with football. I really am concerned that Auburn's in a mess, and I think we've got the wrong guy, and I think we're going to have to give him another year. And, you know, I guess the only positive is the portal at least allows you to rebuild a little quicker than you used to have to in the past. But it's clear that coaches nor players want to come play at Auburn right now, and I don't see that changing.
What do you think about basketball, the good things going on?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So, you know, obviously Walker Kessler was huge last night. Wendell Green was huge last night. Wendell, I was a little worried about him his last two games. He kind of struggled, but, man, he was phenomenal last night. Made a huge difference. So, you know, it was a big win, obviously. It's amazing that Auburn beat them when they made almost 38% of their three-pointers. And Shackelford and Quinterly were playing as well as they were, and Auburn was still able to win by 19. I never would have expected that.
Yeah, I think the team as a whole played really well. Of course, Walker Kessler, like you said, and Wendell Green both had outstanding games. And yeah, Auburn weathered the storm multiple times against Alabama when their two best players were hitting a lot of the time when they were stepping behind the three-point arc. And that just shows the how good and resilient this Auburn team is. And we talked about it a little bit earlier, the runs that teams like Alabama can make. Auburn just weathers the storm and goes on another big run of their own and just puts the game out of reach extremely early.
Yeah, they sure do, and it's different people and different pieces, and sometimes we start off slow in the second half and we bring Wendell in and things change. So I think that's part of it, but, you know, it was a fantastic win. Super proud of the guys and the fans, and you know, it was a crazy atmosphere last night. So huge win. I'm excited about what's ahead. I was really worried about Arkansas a week or so ago, but I'm starting to feel a little better about our chances go up there and win. We're just hard to score on inside, and that makes you're really dependent on the perimeter game.
And that even last night, that was proven that can even not be enough when Auburn's playing as well as they were offensively. Because like you said, Alabama shot 38% from three, and they hit a lot of threes. I think they hit 14 threes or something last night. Let me pull up the official stat. Yeah, they hit 14 threes, and Auburn still wins by 19. Jason, we appreciate the call, my man. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
That was Jason on the line with us. And now joining us on the phone lines, we've got Ed. Ed, how's it going?
Hey, guys. I'm doing pretty good. Y'all doing okay?
We're doing great. What's up?
Well, you know what's up with me. I'm, as before, just really, 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 really disappointed with the direction of the football team. You know, coaches, guys leaving, guys not, you know, losing Caden Story, and you know that we really haven't. It's really, really. Y'all aren't old enough to remember Doug Barfield, but he was a really nice guy, you know, great guy, wonderful guy. But, you know, he just wasn't laid out to be, you know, SEC football coach. But, I mean, have y'all, what do you see? I'm just asking you, what do you see that Parson can do right now? We know he's got to, you know, get an offensive coordinator in there. You know, he can't just promote another one of his boys from Boise, you know, and expect this to just keep on going and without being able to recruit at all, it seems like right now. That's it right there in a nutshell. After this year, what you and I could both see, he cannot recruit and get the players at Auburn, and there is no way that you're going to, you know, stand up in this conference if you can't recruit. And, I'm just telling y'all just the obvious, but, you know, if y'all could tell me something, maybe cheer me up, make me think that I'm wrong, I'd appreciate it. But, I appreciate it, guys. And hey, on the positive side, you know how big of a big fan of Bruce Pearl, and, you know, not only for basketball, but what he does for the school. And Johnny Harris, I think, has got us coming, you know, there. And I mean, guys, I know I'm learning all kind of girls' names in gymnastics. You know, I can sit there and recognize them. I'm really proud of a lot of things that are going on that are great.
And then baseball and softball is right around the corner too, Ed. So there's a lot of good stuff going on outside of football. That's something to cheer you up.
Yes, sir. I love Butch too. Yeah, and softball, you know, I think soccer, you know, Karen does a great job. But anyway, Karen Hopper, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sir. Anyway, guys, I'm just saying – I don't see how you can spin a positive out of it. You've got to recruit, and it, from what has just happened, it is obvious to me that he doesn't have a clue. But anyway, thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Appreciate it, Ed. War Eagle to you as well. If you want to call in, 334-321-1390. That was Jason and Ed who just called in, as well as you can call in toll-free at 888-382-7502. Kind of the big question today is, it's National Signing Day, is why do you think the momentum didn't carry over from December as far as recruiting is concerned, as well as how do you feel about the signing class today?
Yeah, and here's the thing. With National Signing Day, it doesn't even really feel like National Signing Day.
It doesn't.
Because of the early signing period now in December. I mean, what, 90% of the guys in
for
athletes?
For Auburn, it was 100%.
Yeah, 100% for Auburn, but I would say across the board, it's 90% of athletes are now signing on that early signing period back in December. And I hate it, man. National Signing Day used to be so much fun. I remember being in high school, I'd be on my iPod or my iPad in class watching ESPN, scrolling through on websites and trying to see who signed where, because National Signing Day used to be such a big thing.
You're telling me you weren't paying attention in class?
I was paying attention to sports, man. Come on. You know, but yeah,
the Pythagorean theorem did not prepare you for what you're doing right now, so I understand.
No. My biology class.
Stay in school, kids.
Biology didn't get me onto the radio talking about sports. But no, I just think it. I hate to see it. The National Signing Day is not as big as it used to be, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's just where the world is now.
Ed was asking about what can we say to try and help cheer him up a little bit, trying to find any room for positivity. I will say the recruiting class did finish a lot higher than where it was at the start compared to people's expectations. This class was outside the top 40 at one point, didn't have anything really to its name at the beginning of the 2022 cycle, and it does finish inside the top 20. And I think when you look at where it's ranked at right now, it is 18th It is 18th, and that's not great, and it is barely inside the top half of the SEC, and that's not great, and this is not, this should not be the expectation of Auburn football recruiting long term. It should not be. But I do think you can compare it to LSU and Tennessee and Kentucky and Missouri even in front of it. And I know Missouri had a five-star, but if you compare the average recruit rating, Auburn's right there with Missouri as well for average recruit rating overall. I think when you compare Auburn's class to LSU, Tennessee, Missouri, and Kentucky, the four teams in front of Auburn, you can make an argument that Auburn's class is every bit as good as Kentucky and Missouri's, which are fourth and fifth, and I think the recruiting class is better than Tennessee and LSU's.
But at the end of the day, that's not good enough.
It's not good enough, but it's better than where you were at.
Yes, and I've been saying it again. I will repeat it again. I've said it all season long, all offseason. A top 20 class for year one under Brian Harsin is a miracle, and it's a good thing for Auburn. So just, it's hard to be patient because of what is happening on the other side of the state and on the state across from us, you know, next to us across state lines. It's hard to be okay with number 18 in the country. But for the first full year for Harsin recruiting, I mean, top 20 is a miracle.
Let's head back to the phone lines again, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Who do we have on the line with us? You're on.
Hey, it's the Steeler Mike, guys.
How's it going? Is that Steeler Mike? Is that what you said?
That's right. Can y'all hear me okay?
We can, yes. Yes, I was just making sure I had that right. NFL Steeler Mike, I got you, man. What's up?
That's right. I'm also an Auburn man, but, you know, I'm a diehard Steeler. So, I'm going to preface this by stating that I'm not real sure that Brian Harsin is the guy for the future, but and I am concerned about a lot of the things a lot of people are when it comes to – I'm more concerned about players transferring out and not necessarily the initial group of players that left. I understood transfer portal, looking for playing time, that kind of thing. But I do think that there are some personality issues going on between this staff, especially at the top, and the players that are here. And you expect that. This is really almost with COVID prefacing this staff's arrival and having to deal with it during it, but especially prefacing it. This is like almost like they just got here, but they got to coach a year of football. And then you add on top of that transfer portal, NIL, all this other stuff swinging through, and it's almost like, you know, Auburn's just taking it from every angle. I think the class was – I thought it come together pretty well considering in December. We got some good kids. We still obviously are lacking on the offensive line, which is going to end up really hurting us if something isn't done this year coming up in recruiting and transfer-wise. I just think this job's a little bigger than Boise State could ever be. I like the culture, the toughness, the hard-nosed approach of Coach Harsin. I thought we needed that. We were lacking that at times under the previous staff. And I actually personally like Gus and know him and hated to see it not work out. But I thought that had ran out and it was time for a change in direction. I just don't know that this is the direction that we are getting. And so definitely going to have to deal with him being here another year. Hopefully he proves this all wrong. And because once again, I like aspects of this coaching staff, but if you're going to win in this conference on this level and compete for championships, you will not do it unless you are bringing in not only top 10 classes, but classes that fit the needs of your program. And that is the biggest problem for football. And today, signing day in February means very little anymore because of the early signing period. And I don't know that it ever changed unless they change the signing period structure. So, this is just something normal. You'd like to pick up a couple of kids in this second signing period. obviously missing out on Caden's story was big. But it's understandable when you have so much instability on the staff. And that is where recruiting is made. You know, Zach can do everything possible. We've got some help from Trevon Reed and others, and they have been huge. If it wasn't for them, we would probably be in the 30s right now. So I'll take what we got and be happy with that, but it's not going to be good enough, and we all know that. We're not silly. So I want to thank Coach Pearl and the basketball program for kicking butt and helping keep us kind of keeping our minds off of it a little bit. I think as we get closer to March, we won't even be thinking that much about football until the basketball season's over with, because this team has a chance to do some great things. The gymnastics program is rolling. Of course, we got an Olympian on the team to help anchor it, but it's fun to watch that group. There's a lot of good things going on at Auburn, but we all know that football is the driver, with basketball really close to it. And right now in this era, basketball is kind of leading the charge as far as our spirit. So hopefully they can just keep doing what they're doing. It's one hell of a team. They're deep as you're going to find. And that's probably what's going to give them the best chance to win a championship. Not just the SEC, but a deep run and possible national championship, is the fact that we basically have two first-team groups that can come out there and play against anybody. So anyway, y'all have a great day, War Eagle, and we'll see what happens.
That's right, War Eagle and Steeler Mike, feel free to call anytime if you want to talk NFL stuff with us as well. We're not just all college sports, so if you ever want to talk NFL, I may be a Browns fan, but I'll talk to you about it.
Yeah, well, the NFL is going through some of its own issues today.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another day.
That's right. Appreciate it, Steeler Mike. You have a great day, War Eagle.
You too, War Eagle.
That was Steeler Mike on the line with us. If you want to call in, 334-321-1390, as well as toll-free at 888-382-7502. Jacob, I know you were looking to respond to that, so take it away.
Yeah, and, you know, he started his call out by saying he doesn't think Brian Harsin's the man for the job, and I feel like there's a line drawn halfway down on the Auburn fan base. Half of them are on that boat that think Brian Harsin is not able to get it done. He's in over his head. But then the other half of the fan base, I think they're trying to give him a chance and trying to let him do his thing and see how it plays out. I see both sides. I see the concerns and I see the positives. So I think the fan base is split, and year two is going to be extremely crucial for Brian Harsin.
I liked his takes on recruiting. I thought he made some really good points about Auburn recruiting. Is that, look, this is good compared to where we were at, and that's what I was saying going into the call. This is good for where they were, because he's right. If it wasn't for Trevon Reed, among some others, mm-hmm. Nick Eason as well, this class does not finish inside the top 20. It may be hanging out there with Vanderbilt right now, which is where it was. We have to remember where it came from. So to know that this class at one point was top 15, that's good. And I still think, although it's at 18, and that may be a five-spot difference from where it was at 13, look, I'm going to be real. There's not a whole lot separating these classes from 12 to 18. There's not. And so Auburn, sitting where it's at, I actually think they've had some unfair, I think it's a little unfair where they're at right now, honestly. I think they have a better class than LSU and Tennessee. I think they have a better class than Stanford. I think you could put Auburn in front of these places, but it just kind of comes down to how the recruiting rankings are compiled, right? And that's why Auburn is at 18. The numbers just don't favor them at this point. But I think when you break it down, Auburn's right there in that 12 to 15 range and where it should be. And granted, I liked the aspect of his call where he said, although that's good for where we were at this year, you can't live there on a consistent basis. And unfortunately, Auburn has just now posted back-to-back classes that have finished 18th and 19th in the country. In a couple of years, those guys will make up the upperclassmen, junior, senior portion of this roster. And that's not where you want to be at. That's not going to place you with better than an 8-win, 9-win season at best. You're going to have a hard time competing for national championships. So I think that's very fair to point that out. It's like, look, this is good for where we were at, but there's still a lot more to come. And there's reasons for why Auburn's at right here. It's a hard hand to play with right now if you're this coaching staff with all of the different things coming at you.
I agree, yeah. I mean, this is a big step from where Auburn was 2 years ago, but no, you can't live here forever. And the only thing that's going to determine what happens is time. So that's what we have to give it. And top 20 right now is a miracle, but we got to give it time.
Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we continue on with making headlines. Auburn basketball walloped Alabama 181 to advance to 21-1 overall. As well as there were some other crazy games last night and what was a good night of college basketball yesterday evening. Back on the line, Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama. Fun show so far today. Coming up at 3:30, we'll have Caleb Jones of the Auburn Plainsman and AuburnSports.com. Stay tuned for that conversation coming up. Still keeping going with making headlines. We haven't talked about this a ton. Auburn basketball wallops Alabama 181 to advance to 21-1 overall.
Yeah, big win last night for Auburn. We knew they were going to come in and play well, and again, we talked about it earlier. We knew Alabama was going to come in and play well.
But they didn't.
But they didn't.
Three fairly well.
Half their points came from the three-point line. They hit 14 threes for 42 points.
More than half of their field goals dropped from three-point land.
Yes, but I'll say this. We thought they were going to come in and play well, and they realistically, I guess they kind of did. The team didn't, but we knew they were going to give Auburn a fight, and they did. In the second half, it was a two-point game at one point in the second half. So you knew Alabama was going to play at least decent. They were going to be ready for that game, but you know, some of the things that you have to look at, J.D. Davison, 0 points for Alabama. That's not a recipe for success for them. But anybody listening out there, we want to hear your take about what you think about the Auburn-Alabama game last night, what you see Auburn basketball doing over the next few weeks. Is this team going to lose again in the regular season?
Will this team lose again?
We want to hear you guys and hear what your opinions are. Call into on the line 334-321-1390 or toll free 888-382-7502.
I can't wait until nine games from now. We have 9 games left. I can't wait till 9 games from now I can say I was right. Auburn's 30-1.
I don't want those games to fly by, though, man, because this basketball season is flying by.
That's fair.
Already.
I don't want it to fly by or anything like that. I'm just saying I am sticking by my hot take Wednesday from last week that Auburn will not lose again in the regular season.
Do you think they – so you're saying they don't lose in the regular season.
The schedule's not that hard,
no,
man.
It's not.
And they all have their issues. I mean, Auburn's on the road at Georgia this weekend. Now, I don't want to – yeah,
win.
That's fine. Now, the road game against Arkansas can be scary the way that they're playing right now, and if Auburn's not shooting the ball well in that game, they definitely have the ability to beat Auburn, but that's still a team that has its offensive issues. They're better defensively than they are offensively. You got A&M at home. I don't think Auburn loses at home.
No.
Auburn does not lose at home. So that's going to be wins over A&M, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, and South Carolina. So then you look at the road games. We're watching Florida right now. Losing by 3 to Missouri on SEC Network. This is live, by the way. For some reason, this was set at 2 p.m. Florida's losing to Missouri. Granted, it's on the road. I don't care. There can't be that many people inside Missouri's gym at 3 o'clock, 3:25 p.m. on a Wednesday. Do you have jobs, people? Yeah, I'm looking at the upper deck right there. There's nobody there. Some random staffer just walked by in the roof. You know, I mean, Florida doesn't scare me. I think, you know, right now, I think they're bottom 5 in the SEC. And then you got Tennessee on the road, and obviously you could lose that game. You could lose that game. They're good enough to beat Auburn. And then you got Mississippi State on the road, and I still think Auburn's just a lot better than a team like that.
And
I just have a hard time buying that this team's going to lose again.
The way they're playing right now, and you did. You called it last week. The way they're playing right now, putting 100 points on Alabama by only hitting 5 threes. I mean, they scored 85 points on two-pointers. I mean, two-pointers and free throws. But, yeah, the way they're playing right now, there may not be a team in college basketball that can beat Auburn right now. And I know that's just crazy to say and think about, but it really is true. And Auburn beat Alabama last night, a team that has beaten Gonzaga, Houston, and Baylor. And Auburn beat them by 18, 19 points. They put it on them. And I know it's at the Jungle in Auburn Arena, but man, even if you put those two teams on neutral site, Auburn's still going to win that game by double digits. So, yeah, Auburn, there's a really good chance that Auburn may not lose again in the regular season or the postseason.
And I get that it's not normal in college basketball. It's not. I get that. But I think this team is showing not normal qualities right now. And granted, yes, it's very possible for them to show up and just play a bad game and lose to someone that they shouldn't. And people saying that Auburn's going to lose one or two more games before the year's over, before the regular season over, they're playing the odds, they're playing the probability, and they are choosing the more likely side of things. I'm just going out on a limb with a hot take here and saying that, you know what, I won't take the field. I'm going to take Auburn. I'm going to choose Auburn here rather than the field for Auburn to finish undefeated.
Well, if you look at the remaining schedule, Auburn will no doubt about it be favored in every single game that they play.
Right.
And they showed it last night, their BPI percentage, the lowest chance was a 56% chance of victory at Arkansas. That was the lowest one. Everything
Ken Pom
else,
has Auburn winning every game.
And they're going to be favored, not only favored in every game, but I think at least what you said, nine games, I would say seven of those at least, they're going to win by double digits, in my opinion. There's my take, I guess. Auburn's going to win seven out of their next nine games by double digits. So if they play to their potential, there's no doubt in my mind that they could do that. They could beat all these teams by double digits if they really wanted to. And now then they're going to have to regroup for an SEC tournament and then the NCAA tournament. They're going to be a one seed in both of those, maybe the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. And then it's on from there, man.
Other things that happened last night in what was a fun college basketball evening, Ole Miss upset number 25 LSU. They are reeling right now. They are 4-5 in the SEC. They were 4-1 at one point in the league.
LSU was one of the better teams in the country at one point. Their defense was the best defense in the country.
Frauds!
No longer. And at one point in that game, Ole Miss was up by like 20 points, man. LSU made a roaring comeback in the second half, but Ole Miss was able to get it done on the road. And that's an LSU team that is struggling right now. And they lost that game at home, man. That's a big-time win for Ole Miss. And that's a big, I mean, that's a big win on the road.
UConn's ascension in the polls halted last night. Creighton beat them 59-55. UConn ranked 17th.
That was a game that UConn needed to have because it's crazy. They're the only team in the country that can say they've beaten Auburn, and they did. But outside of that, they need to add some to their resume. That was a tough loss for UConn last night. And Michigan State also struggled on the road, but they got it done in Maryland.
Texas Tech beats Texas 77-64. Chris Beard's return, less than friendly. Let's take a quick break here. Back on the line, Jacob Goins, Noah Gardner with you on ESPN 106.7 at Fox Sports Central, Alabama. Hope everybody's having a blessed Wednesday out there. And joining us on the show now, we got Caleb Jones of the Auburn Plainsman and AuburnSports.com. Caleb, how's it going today, my man?
It's going good. Thank you so much for having me on.
Looking forward to having you on today. Of course, let's talk about National Signing Day. What's your take on where Auburn has landed today? I know you cover recruiting as well for Auburn Rivals. What's your take on how Auburn has finished in recruiting today? It's definitely being spun as a negative, at least across the fan base.
Well, I think you kind of hit it right on. It is kind of a negative, in my opinion. I think Auburn could have finished a little stronger. They went 0-4 today, which is never good on National Signing Day. You never want to finish by not picking up anybody new. So I think Auburn's kind of an undesirable place right now for a lot of recruits to go. You know, there's a lot of overturn in the coaching staff. So it wasn't a great thing for Brian Harsin or this Auburn football program.
Caleb, we've heard from callers this week and today, especially as Auburn went 0-4, like you mentioned on National Signing Day. We've heard fans calling in saying, you know, they're disappointed and don't really know where the program is going due to the lack of recruiting. What is your message to Auburn fans as Auburn missed out on all four recruits today, but finished up with 18 or the number 18 class in the country?
I mean, I think with Auburn, there's that overturn in coaching, the coaching staff, like I said. But I think with Auburn, it's be patient, see how Harsin adapts and you know reacts to this, you know, to see how it will play out as the off season progresses, and the transfer portal is still wide open, Noah. So Auburn can still get some guys to the transfer portal.
Taking a look at what Auburn football still needs to check off, a checklist, if you will, for this class. Obviously, the 2022 cycle ends, but what does Auburn need to go and get? And these are some you know, pretty clear-cut answers, but what can Auburn realistically do in the transfer portal over the next couple of months?
Auburn needs to find some receivers. Their receiver room has heavily depleted after the departures of guys like Kobe Hudson and several others that entered the transfer portal. So Auburn needs to go out and find a receiver. They need to find maybe some guys to tack on the offensive line. And that offensive line is probably going to look very similar to the offensive line from this past season. You're not going to see much change in that with so many of those guys returning. But Auburn can always add some depth as far as offensive line. They've got some linebackers that they need to pick up. They did a really good job early on in the transfer portal, picking up some guys in the secondary to replace the likes of, you know, Zakobe McClain. But Auburn just really needs receivers. That's probably the biggest issue of concern if I'm an Auburn fan looking at that. You just don't have anybody.
Well, Caleb, there's no doubt that Auburn has picked up some guys and some studs on the recruiting trail. In your opinion, who's the biggest impact player that Auburn picked up recruiting in this newest class?
There are a bunch of guys that are, you know, that were good pickups for Auburn. I'm excited about Camden Brown and Micah Riley Ducker. I think these are guys that are going to add depth to that receiving class, like I said. But they may take some time. You know, I don't think these are going to be guys that are going to come in and make that, you know, immediate program-changing impact that everybody would want them to. I think this is going to take some time, some development. But those are two guys that I would say keep your eye on just because they're going to get a chance, you know. They're going to get a chance along with Amari Kelly, all these other receivers. They'll get a chance to play because of, you know, the lack of depth that's in that receiving room.
Speaking with Caleb Jones of the Auburn Plainsmen and Auburn Rivals, I want to ask you about this, a little bit more of the pulse of the student side of things in the fan base, because I know you're out there, you're on campus, you can put your finger on the pulse of it. We've been talking about Auburn and the potential of Auburn becoming a basketball school down the line. It seems like the younger fan base is a whole lot more open to that idea than the older fan base. What is the vibe right now inside the younger side of this fan base on campus in regards to football and basketball and the intersection of those two?
Right, yeah. On campus, man, it's basketball season on the Plains. Football is taken, you know, just second string. It's barely even talked about. Auburn didn't sign anybody today, but nobody really cares because Auburn's number one in basketball, and that is the talk of the town right now.
Talking Auburn basketball on the win over Alabama 181 last night. What were your takeaways from Auburn's win?
Alabama knocked down 14 threes. That's the most threes that team has hit against an SEC team this season. An unbelievable stat put up by the Crimson Tide, and they still lost by 19. If that's any indicator of how good this Auburn team is and how much potential. The potential is a national champion, a national championship and a banner for this team. And there are not many teams right now in the country that I think Auburn, you know, could be challenged by. There are very few teams that I think Auburn could be challenged by, and several of them are in the SEC.
We've been having the debate over the past week or so of whether we think this Auburn basketball team is going to lose another game, whether it's in the regular season or in postseason play. Caleb, in your opinion, do you see Auburn basketball losing again? And if so, to who?
I'm gonna say next Tuesday is going to be the game to keep an eye on if you're an Auburn fan. Auburn's traveling to Arkansas. Arkansas is on a roll right now. They've been playing some of their best basketball. They're heating up. And that's not going to be a well-attended game by Auburn fans compared to something like Georgia or Ole Miss that's, you know, a little closer to the state of Alabama. This is Arkansas. So it's going to be a little more heavily favored towards Arkansas fans than maybe some of these traveling Auburn fans have been able to get out there. So I'd say circle that one. Arkansas is going to be a huge challenge for Auburn coming up next week.
Last question to you before we let you get out of here. Talking about Auburn as a national championship contender, Auburn currently is the second favorite right now in the betting odds. They're right behind Gonzaga. We asked this question to Justin Ferguson earlier in the show. What, if anything, is Auburn lacking right now that could prevent them from winning a national championship? We know this team's great, but how could they improve?
Man, that's a tough question. With as well as they've played, they've won 21 games, and you want me to? Tell you what they've done wrong? That is a really tough question, man. I can't give you an answer right now.
They're that good. I understand it.
This team is clicking. This team's clicking pretty good now. They forced Alabama outside the perimeter, and Alabama made their shots. But anytime you do give up 14 threes, that's not necessarily a good sign, because if Alabama hits 14 threes and Auburn's offense isn't clicking like it was last night, then that's an area of concern. And just playing clean, I think, is going to be the biggest thing for Auburn. You saw against, you know, Missouri and against Alabama, when Auburn kind of got into foul trouble, that's kind of where, you know, Alabama and Missouri were able to close the gap a little bit. So I'd say just continue to play at the level they've been playing and clean it up. Just play as clean as you can.
Caleb, we appreciate you taking some time to speak with us today. Tell everybody where they can keep up with you and where they can access your content.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter at Caleb J Sports. You can find any of my content at theplainsman.com in that sports section or on auburnsports.com.
Caleb, we appreciate it, my man. I hope you have a good rest of your afternoon.
Y'all have a great one, too.
That was Caleb Jones of the Auburn Plainsman. He's the sports editor there for the Auburn Plainsman, as well as he covers recruiting for auburnsports.com. Jacob, let's keep it parked here for just a couple minutes before we head to break, going back to talking about National Signing Day. We covered this hardcore at the beginning of the show. We talked about classes that underwhelmed us at the beginning, and if anybody has missed any of the shows so far, go and find the podcast wherever you can get your podcast. Which classes do you think outkicked their coverage on National Signing Day? Who exceeded expectations? It could be SEC or anywhere.
Man, that's a good question. I mean, you could say Texas A&M as the number one recruiting class in the nation. I mean, we knew, like we mentioned this, I mentioned it back in the first hour, we knew Texas A&M was going to become a dominant recruiting force in the SEC with Jimbo Fisher. But I didn't really, I guess I didn't expect it to be this year, but you could definitely say that they out-recruited their expectations. I mean, they just locked up the number one recruiting class in the country, beating out Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State. I mean, that's big-time recruiting for Texas A&M. So, yeah, that's my pick is Texas A&M.
It's a nasty class. They haven't done this before. A&M does not do this.
No, they don't.
They can be a top 10 class on a regular basis, but they don't do this. They just out-recruited Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. And it wasn't even close in some respects. I mean, they beat out Ohio State by 28 recruiting points. They beat out Georgia by 22 recruiting points. They beat Alabama by 6. The Alabama one obviously was a little bit closer, and part of its volume, Georgia had more commitments than A&M. Georgia had 29 commits. Georgia had 29 commits and still finished third. They had the most commitments out of anybody inside the top 25, and dare I say, out of everybody, because Vanderbilt had 28. I was fixing to say, I was like, Vanderbilt had a ton. Yeah. But the fact that Georgia still finishes third, and they had, and granted, it's still a great class. Those three classes clearly have separated themselves from everyone else. But A&M, you're right, A&M outkicked its coverage. Of course, they've got all those resources. They've got all that. But they haven't been doing this. So you can't say that they didn't exceed expectations. I mean, this is a wow class for Jimbo Fisher, and could finally – this is a class that wins you a national championship. You need the quarterback, but he's got the quarterback in this class too. This is the class that can win you a national championship. Let's head back to the phone lines again, 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Shane on the line with us. Shane, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. Hey, when did the NIL officially begin?
Well, I guess that happened this past summer, late spring.
Right. So nobody thinks that might have something to do with Texas, the richest, you know, state in the country, has nothing to do with the fact that they get now almost legally 5 players.
Yeah, and that definitely has an impact on it. Yeah. But Jimbo Fisher was asked about that today, and he shot it down immediately. He said that.
Of course he did.
Of course he did, yes.
That's what I'm saying. Of course, yeah. Oh, yeah, we got, I mean, No one gets brighter, bigger check than we can. He's not going to say that, but right. We know it's true. No one wants to go to Texas anymore.
Did it have an impact? Yes, I'm sure it did, because of the money that's around the program of Texas A&M, the money that's in the state of Texas. I'm sure the NIL had a huge factor to do with that, but that's just the state of football right now.
All those people with those deep pockets, now they are legally allowed to pay the players to come.
Yeah, you're right, and that's just, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, that is the state that college football and college athletics has entered in at this point. That's just how it is now, unfortunately.
I've been watching and loving Auburn football for 40 years. And I've never felt the way I do. Not even in the 90s when we were on probation that I feel is like I don't see it going well. I mean, those you guys are like, you know, let's give it time or, you know. Tough, what though? Like, did they still fall farther behind everybody else? Don't you think that Kentucky? All right, so if we live in a world where Kentucky and Ole Miss, Mississippi State, are better than Auburn, that's a crazy thing to think, but that is all true. And Arkansas probably will be give them another 2 years. This seems like we're going backwards. And everybody else except for Lonely Vanderbilt. But I don't want to be in the category with Vanderbilt in anything. I mean, maybe academic, but it's just a sad time for a football program. And I don't see it going anywhere from here until something huge changes. Every other team can get these massive did we sign anybody today?
We did not. No, Shane. Let me ask you a quick question, though. What would you do?
Go ahead.
What would you do? That's my question. What would you change? Because my thing is, regardless of whether or not we want to give them time, I think we have to. Like, we have no choice. I don't think you can fire the coach.
No, not right now. I mean, you can't fire him mid-season. But either if we are 16 and nothing's looking good.
Shane, you're breaking up again, my man. I think we're about to lose you.
I've said,
why would we let this prolong another year, further than another year? If it's the same, after the end of this next season, if we're 6-16 and things don't seem to be changing or going in the right direction, why would anybody say, okay, we got to be patient, give them another, whatever.
Think you're right. It's win now. I think they have to win this year. I agree with that. I think it's important for the future of the Auburn program. Things have to improve this year. Shane, we got to go, my man. We're about to head to our last break of the show. We appreciate the call, bud. That was Shane on the line with us. I don't disagree with him. I think they do have to win now, especially to help out recruiting. The morale's low, and the only way to fix that is to win. We still got Greg on hold, right? Okay, we'll get to you, Greg, on the other side of this break. Stay tuned for more of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Wrapping up the Wednesday edition of On the Line, Noah Gardner, Jacob Goins with you on the show. Going to head back to the phone lines for one final call of the show. Greg has been waiting patiently. Greg, how you doing today? Greg, do we have you? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. How about y'all?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Just a couple of things. One, I'd say about the recruiting is, yes, the ranking hurts, but biggest thing we got to do is fill our needs. And, y'all talked about that. But two, basketball. You asked a question a minute ago, and I sat and thought about, what do we need to improve on? Look back at all these times, and you saw it last night with Alabama. When they made their runs, or when these other teams make their runs, we start settling for running the clock down and just chunking up a three-pointer or something at the end of the shot clock. I think that would be the one thing we need to improve on to seriously make it to the championship.
Shot selection, I'm with you 100%. And I don't even think shot selection is a problem just when other teams are making runs. I think when Auburn gets up big, like 19-0, they start taking bad shots, and that's what creates the runs for the other teams. I would love to see Auburn continue to keep their foot on their opponents' throats and keep pounding it inside, because very few teams, I think you could say there's only one team in the country that's as good inside as Auburn, and that's Gonzaga, and I say as good. Nobody is better than Auburn inside in this country, and so just keep pounding that away. Why you got to shoot threes? And I know why they do it, because they want the crowd to go crazy.
I know. It's like I told a buddy of mine about it a week ago when we were watching a game somewhere else. We were watching it, and I said, you know, we throw up those three-pointers, and it when we do it, I cringe, but then dadgummit, we make them. But
yeah. And you have a blast watching them do it, too.
That's great points, man.
For the most part, yes.
Yeah, great points, Greg. Shot quality is definitely not something that is a full 40 minutes for Auburn. We've seen them take bad shots, and I'm in the same boat. There's sometimes where KD Johnson or Wendell Green steps back and tries to shoot a 30-foot three-point bomb, and half the time it goes in, and you just can't even complain at that point. But there's times in the game, and I think in the tournament, if we do that, and Auburn does that, it's going to hurt them if they don't get that fixed. That's a great point, Greg.
I agree. All right, y'all have a great one.
You too, Greg. Thank you. That was Greg calling in. And the other point that I want to make here is Auburn every night is not playing teams that they're going to meet in the Sweet 16. Right?
Yeah.
Like Alabama right now is not a Sweet 16 team. They could be if they play like they did against Baylor, right? But they don't play like that every night. The problem is they're going to play really well in the first round, and then they're going to play horrible in the second round, and they're going to go home. Or they won't even play well in the first round, and they're going to go home, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. There's just this level of inconsistency. You look at Auburn's schedule right now, and the teams that they're playing, they're not playing Sweet 16 teams every night. And the issue is, if Auburn does that one time against the wrong opponent, the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, it's over. That this team is one of the best teams. Right now, it's the best team in America, without a doubt. But they've got to finish opponents off. You can't play with your food when it's in the NCAA tournament. You can.
No, I agree. And against better competition, poor shot quality and poor shot selections will creep up. Auburn, I think, is going to be too good anyway. But if you get complacent like that against really good teams, it could come back to bite you in the tournament.
It's time for Final Take.
Final Take.
Do you have a final take?
No, I'm gonna let you go first, man.
Okay, final take for me today, National Signing Day, is where I'm going to go with it. I also had something for U.S. soccer, but I won't bore people with it. They need to win, I'll tell you that. But National Signing Day for Auburn football. I really liked what one of our callers earlier today said, and I can't remember who it was. It may have been Jason who said it. But look, this is not where you want to be at. This isn't. This is not where you want to be at finishing 18th, and Auburn has put together back-to-back recruiting classes of barely being inside the top 20, barely being inside the top half of the conference. The state of Auburn football recruiting right now is not great, but I also think it is pertinent to look at the situations and the circumstances revolving around Auburn. COVID killed last year's class and the firing of Gus Malzahn. Also, the fact that this coaching staff came from Idaho and has no relationships in the Southeast killed this year's class, right? I think this year's class exceeded expectations. So I'm not going to sit here and say that they can't recruit. They can recruit. I think they've shown that in this year's class. But it's win now, and it's recruit now, or else the Auburn program, we can live in a world where they are behind Kentucky and Mississippi State.
And to piggyback off of that, while the football team may be struggling and considered in a dumpster fire, we have a number one team in the country in basketball. Enjoy that while it's here, because this is possibly the best team that Auburn's ever put on the hardwood. Enjoy it while it lasts.
That's it for another edition of On the Line. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place. You know where to find us.